Be grateful that whatever our maturity in years, in age, whatever our strength may be physically, the Lord hasn't finished with us yet. The Lord is still wanting to, so willing to work his purposes out in our lives. Not so much for our blessing, but yes, when we're involved in his work, when we've surrendered to him, we are blessed because it means that we're walking in unity, in unison with the Lord. Hallelujah. There's got to be blessing. There has to be blessing. It means that when we're walking that pathway, when the enemy does come in like a flood, hey, there's a standard raised up. We're walking in Jesus. We have his word within us. So whatever your age, whatever your maturity, and whatever you feel, well, my best years are behind me, actually, you know that's total nonsense. Your best years are ahead of you. Praise be to the Lord. And some of those best years can still be on earth. Hallelujah. He hasn't finished with you yet. And I don't believe he has finished with me. But he does call on us to make those decisions which Philip mentioned, that we choose as disciples, as followers of Jesus, to surrender our all, to surrender our lives to him. Hallelujah, day by day. Some of you will be aware that there's been so much going around on the internet and in some Christian magazines about the what is known as the blood moons or the red moons. The most significant blood moon for this season is tonight at about 3 o'clock. So if you're around and up, set your alarm, you should see, because you don't need sunglasses, you don't need a telescope or anything else, you'll see the moon turn red. And many people have been scaremongering the Church of Jesus Christ. I know that my times are in the Lord's hand, and I believe that one or two of you have been receiving emails from somebody not connected to this fellowship now, but has put a little bit of fear into you. I would counsel you against it. I would counsel you against it. What I would say is, if the Lord came for you tonight, if the Lord came for me tonight, are you ready? That's the most important thing. Please don't get hung up with conspiracy theories and anything else. We are, as a fellowship, to discern the signs of the times. In fact, Jesus said to his followers and to other people in the Gospels, he says, look, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, you're distressing me. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about the sun shining in the morning, the clouds being red in the morning, the sky being red. And what's it going to be if it's red in the morning? Help me. It's a shepherd's delight. Warning. Anyway, whatever. I wish I hadn't started this. Yeah. And at night time, absolutely. So you can talk about the weather. You've got it off pat, except I haven't. But it's other signs that you should be concerned about. And we are living in climatic days. Real climatic days. Philip spoke in the talk which he gave yesterday at Christian Ministerial Fellowship International, that he does believe, and you can read about it in Trumpet Sounds, you can read about it in Sword magazine, about he believes that within 7 years there will be a significant events taking place within, in the coming months, years. And he talks about the fall of Babylon. Now, if you're not in Christ, if your life is not surrendered to Jesus, if you're not committing day by day your work, your marriage, your finances, everything, your family, your relationships, everything to the Lord and saying, I want you to guide me, Lord. You see, not for no reason does it say in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. If you're a follower, if you're a believer in Jesus, it means you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have God himself who's dwelling within you, dwelling among you. In fact, his kingdom has come upon you. So you're a partnership, you and the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord wants to take a special interest that you and I are making decisions day by day which are pleasing him. If that is happening, and yes, we will at times fail, we will at times blow it, we will at times realise that we've done our own thing, said things which should have been left unsaid. That's why the beauty of it is, the Lord knows that we are still yet not made perfect, but we are by his grace being made perfect. If you confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you confess your faults, when you know, when the convicting spirit comes upon you, if you confess, if you say, I'm truly sorry, Lord, clean me up again. Your blood, the blood of Jesus, washes me completely, cleanses me, washes me white as snow. You forgive my sins. Hallelujah. You remember them no more. I confess them, Lord, because of what Christ has done. He forgives. Hallelujah. He's a God of grace, of love immense. And if we are in that situation, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him day by day, even when the storms may be around us, even when the economy again starts fermenting and blowing up, even though politicians and governments of this country and other nations pass blasphemous, evil, horrible, terrible, God-forsaking laws, taking us further and further away from Christianity, God is still on his throne. And he has a people, he has a remnant, he has Crawley New Life Church, he has other believers who he wants to stand for truth, to stand in the power of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, my boast is not in me, it's not in flesh, I glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is powerful. To all who believe, it saves first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Hallelujah. And God wants the people alive for him, because he can come back. He can destroy the kingdoms of this age in a flash. He can implement his kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. I want to be part of that. So it's important that you and I are walking today in the fear of the Lord, obeying him. And if any of you are unsure, you're not even sure that you've actually entered that narrow gate which leads to life, you've not actually embraced what Christ did on the cross for you, you can do that now. You can humble yourself before him now, before the Lord, and say, I've tried every way. I've done sin. I've looked for other gods, other things to take away the vacuum, to fill the hole, to fill the emptiness. But I know now, Lord, you're the only one who can take away the guilt and the burden of my sin and bring glorious peace and freedom and deliverance to me. I believe, Lord, your word when it says, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I believe that you took my sin upon yourself and nailed it to the cross. I believe, as we were singing just now, not only did you, Lord Jesus, suffer, bleed and die such a cruel, ignominious death, and that you were buried in the tomb. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy did not have the victory. He thought his dastardly deed was accomplished, but you rose again triumphantly. And as we have been singing, I believe now, Lord, because you lived, died, and rose again for my salvation, for my justification, I will live with you. Hallelujah. Because you live, I will live too. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are the resurrection and the life. I believe you have given me your life. Take me to yourself, Lord, now. May I know your everlasting arms around me. And I believe in the power of the gospel. When the word says that he's come to set the captive free, that when he says he's come to open the eyes of the blind, when he says he's come to heal those wounds, that past, he means it. And we are praying and believing, and this is one reason we're putting on the Sunday evening meetings, that as we humble ourselves before the Lord and receive the power of the Almighty Supernatural God, individually and as a community, we will become a much more faith-fueled and faith-filled community, full of the Holy Spirit. Because some of us are still in bondages. Some of us are still held back by sickness. Some are still held back by a failed marriage, by somebody walking out on us, and we haven't broken through. We're living in the past. And that means the enemy has still got hold of something in our lives. The Lord wants to remind you and me that he has a future for us. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. But he has grace and power to release us and to bring us into freedom. It doesn't mean that you won't be attacked. It doesn't mean that this fellowship won't be attacked. But it means that in Christ we are more than conquerors. We can submit to the Lord. We can surrender to the Lord. We can yield to the Lord. And as we then resist the evil one, he flees from us. That is the word of the Lord. Surrendering our lives, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. You see, friends, what is your goal? What is my goal, if we can use that terminology? I'll tell you what mine is. Be Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. Do you want to be Christ-like? Do you? Christ-like? No, I'm not getting an answer. Do you want to be Christ-like? Matthew says, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And soon the Son of Man is coming in his kingdom. This is the party political season. The Libs have had theirs, the UKIPs have had theirs, the Labour have got theirs, the Conservatives are going to have theirs. I don't think there's anybody in here who's going to put much trust and hope in any of them to solve the problems of this world or to solve the problems of this nation. But we do pray for them. We must pray for our leaders, that amongst them there will be some godly wisdom. But they're not going to transform the church. They're not going to transform the nation. And I desperately feel sorry for some of them, for them, to be honest, because much rests on their shoulders, much expectations, but people are looking in the wrong direction. You as the people of God don't put your trust in man, you don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Our help comes from the Lord himself. The maker of heaven and earth, that's where our help comes from. God is still sovereign. He's not abandoned his throne. He's still in charge. And if you are secure in Jesus, if you are denying yourself, if you are taking up your cross, if you're following him, and by the way, this is a deliberate act. It is deliberate. We put to death the sins, the lust of the flesh. We put to death our way, and we say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your spirit. Hallelujah. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your grace. Fill me with your wisdom. He does. He does. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done. So whatever challenges you may be personally facing at this moment, if you surrender them to the Lord. And there's a difference between surrender and submitting. Submitting, we sort of give up, but we still hang on in a way. Surrendering, we're giving it all to Jesus. We give it all to Jesus. And then hope comes. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. The Lord may give you a thorn, even in your walk. He may give you something which can buffet you, distress you. Sometimes we may think, oh, well, my husband's the thorn, or my daughter's the thorn, or my boss is the thorn. No, I don't believe that. And there's been so much speculation about what the Apostle Paul meant when he said about the thorn in the flesh. I'll tell you, it was something that buffeted him. It was from Satan. It wasn't an affliction. It buffeted him. He was being tormented by the evil one to try and stop him from fulfilling the destiny that the Lord had on his life. It was to stop him in his tracks and say, it isn't worth it. And we would have never had the greatest apostle. We would have never had the letters to the churches. But he knew this was a messenger from Satan to torment him. And you'll have these messengers from Satan to buffet you. It may well be a thorn. But hey, you don't have to live under the thorn. The thorn is underneath you. Do you understand? You're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan will buffet you. He will try you to take you off the narrow way so that you choose instead to go the broad way, the way much of the church is going. But if you choose to follow the narrow way and say, I'm going to be a disciple, and in your grace, as I abide in you, Lord Jesus, I will be fruitful, and you will have all the honour and all the glory. 2 weeks ago, we had testimony, and much was shared from our brother and sister who are living in Spain and have lived there for some years now and who are with us today. They didn't, as it were, choose that path, that life. They chose to go over, they prayed about it, to Spain. But the Lord had already gone before them and has been preparing them all the years of ministry, all the years in here and elsewhere. The Lord was preparing them for such a time as this. And the Lord has kept that door open, and he's opening new doors because they surrendered to him. And that's for all of us. It's a pathway of blessing and being a blessing. One other scripture I want to read is James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And verse 7. I quoted this. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is something, friends, I confess, and I've spoken to my boys about it recently, about how I, at times, and even until perhaps recent years, and I'm not saying I've got through it yet, but how I can be double-minded. I can say this is the word of the Lord and say I believe in it, but then there's still doubt. I bring some baggage from my past. I bring some baggage from my tradition into it. Did God really say, is it for me? I need to be a man of faith, and this church needs to be a church full of faith. So when it says here, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's a condition, but there's a promise. There's no maybe God will draw near to you. Oh, if you pass this test and go through that loop and cross that hurdle, then he may draw near to you. No. Clench your hearts. Say, I'm coming your way, Lord. He's already drawing near to you. He's going to magnify his name. He's going to magnify his promises in your life. We have to choose the walk of faith and not the walk of doubt. Jesus was the greatest example, of course, of all, how he surrendered himself completely to the will of the Father by offering his life as a sacrifice for mankind. And as believers and as followers, we all reap the benefit of that work, that finished work which he accomplished on the cross. But it is time that we sacrificed ourselves to him. The surrendered life, dear friends, is giving back to Jesus the life he granted to you. And I've been thinking about this as I've been thinking about the dedication of dear Alex, the dedication of the parents to the Lord Jesus. And it's a wonderful thing. It's been a wonderful service. Praise be to his name. But all of us need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Time is short. If he came for us tonight and we have to stand before him, what would he say? Did we choose, as Philip said yesterday, to do our thing and say, well, I'm passing this decision by, I'll leave it for somebody else. I'll live a comfortable life. I'll live for myself. I'll be a nice dad or whatever. Or are we saying, I'm choosing to go your way, Lord. I'm choosing to work with you. I'm choosing the surrendered life because your way is best. You know what's best for me. You know what's best for my family. You know what's best for my marriage. You know what's best for me. And I want to have that blessing. But above all, to know that those riches that are in the heavenly places not only are reserved for me, but those blessings of grace, those blessings of love, those blessings of joy, those blessings of peace are mine now as I respond to him in faith. I want to resign my life, this church, to his hands. Just as I conclude, I just sense that for one or two, you've been still and are continuing to run away from your problems, run away from the difficulties and from the challenges, and you keep thinking, well, if I do that, then I can start again. And it's very exhausting, isn't it? It really is exhausting when you're running away, when you're trying to hide, when you're trying to sort it out. It's so exhausting. Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of running? You're almost wanting to give up. But I want to say to you this morning, the Lord Jesus knows, and he has taken your place. And when you surrendered your life, you did consider yourself dead. And the Lord Jesus wants to turn that position of hopelessness. And we can always be blaming the other person. That's easy. But when the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, points to the sin, the disobedience, to our words in our own life, which we have spoken, then we can get it right with God. And we can see that other person also respond to the grace and the power of the Lord in our lives, because we've said yes to Jesus, no to flesh. Hallelujah. There's no situation that is too difficult for the Lord this morning if only we surrender to him, give it to him, and say, your will be done. I'm trusting you, Lord. Even though you may take me through a season of turbulence, I believe that you will hold my hand and that even underneath me are your everlasting arms. Let me also say to you again, as you'll have heard me say, and as you know it well enough, the enemy is interested in your past. The Lord has a future for you. Get it right with God now. There may be many strongholds by the wayside, but each and every one of them can come tumbling down. Those mind blockages, that fear, can all at the cross totally resolve, and you will hear from the Lord. In a world that is saturated with information that promotes reliance on intelligence and education, to trust the Lord completely seems almost unthinkable. But this is the nucleus of what it means to surrender to him. A surrendered Christian, a surrendered church, acknowledges God at every step, living a life of total trust in his miracle power and perfect plan. And I believe, friends, in the Lord's grace and in his mercy, we as a fellowship and as individuals, as we seek to be obedient to him and that we live in an atmosphere of grace, as we are filled more and more with faith and the power of God, there will be signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. And some perhaps even sitting in this congregation this morning who are still bound to an addiction, who have still got fear in their lives. They haven't broken free. You've actually felt it wasn't for you, or God isn't favouring you. You don't deserve it, which is all nonsense because none of us deserve it. But that's why God, in his amazing love, his agape love, his unconditional love, says, I want you in my kingdom. I want you to be free. I want this church to be free. I want your marriage to be blessed. I want to know that I am king of your life. Hallelujah. There's some who will be freed in the coming days. And you think, wow, those years that have gone by, but the best is yet to come. God hasn't finished with you. Amen.